Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zufa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
My goodness, don't say it is. What? What's happening? Is it Thursday night? I think it is. It must mean it's Cage Zombies Radio, brought to you by the wonderful MMAMadhouse.com. My name is Matthew, and finally, El Pablo Diablo has come back to Cage Zombies Radio. Spencer, my man, how are you doing?
I'm feeling a lot better than I did last week, Matthew. I felt like crap. That's why I wasn't on. My nose was congested. I felt like my eyes were going to pop out of my head. I couldn't even enjoy MMA on Friday night. What was last night or last week's event? I think it was like Bellator. Who else? RFA. There was a bunch of events last weekend, locally and all around, and I couldn't even enjoy it, man. It sucked.
Yeah, I feel bad. I'm glad to have you back, man. You know, last week I got to give shout outs. You know, Kari stepped up last minute to help me out. She was running a few minutes late, but because us here at Team Madhouse, we got depth coming off the bench. We're like the San Antonio Spurs. Skippy jumped in last minute and helped me out there and bailed me out of some blog talk technical issues. But I love our Team Madhouse, and we always got people to back us up and stuff. So, you know, I missed you last week, and I was grateful that we had, you know, such a wonderful team that could just step up last minute and kind of bail me out, because I was, I'm going to be honest, wasn't doing so hot on my own. Didn't help that that blog talk was up to its same old crap, but regardless, man, I'm glad to have you back. I'm glad to talk. Tonight is one of those nights that we do every now and then that I know you and I both love, is you and I are both huge fans of ladies MMA, you know, the women's side of MMA, because I think a lot of times the ladies come out and fight hard, man, fight much harder than the guys and put on some great fights. And so we're doing another one of our ladies' nights here tonight. We got a phenomenal lineup ahead of us. Well, we're going to start with one of the XFC's newest signees. That is Andrea KGB Lee, a hot young prospect in the world of women's MMA at the 125-pound division. Fights out of Louisiana, I believe, my home state. And I know Kelly Carson, you know, the one of the best matchmakers in the South here, Kelly Carson, talks big about this girl and is telling us that we're about to see a takeover with Andrea. So we'll be talking with her. From there, we're going to talk with one of my favorites out there, Amber Stotzenberger, coming off of a tough loss at Beatdown 11 last weekend, a decision loss. But we're talking to her early in the week, and she's ready to get back out there. She's got her head held high. She's got her focus where it needs to be, and she's ready to get out there and take care of business and focus on the next girl. So we'll talk with her. Let's see. From there, we're actually going to talk with another amateur girl, Desiree Wilson, who fights out of the Kentucky area, but she's getting ready to fight on this fight card here this weekend in Port Richey, Florida. It's Goddess Award Championships, an all-female amateur fight card. First time in Florida's fight history that's going down, so we're very excited about that. A lot of top prospects on that fight card. I'll talk about that later in the evening as we get closer to Desiree's interview. And then we're actually going to step outside of MMA as we talk to Noemi Bosquez, who is a local boxer from Tampa, getting ready to kind of take over the world of boxing. A little bit outside of our comfort zone, but let me tell you something, man. This girl is as involved in as MMA as I or you am, man. This girl's got her hands in MMA. She's actually one of the partners at No No Magazine, which I'm a part of, which is going to be debuting this weekend. It's a magazine that's going to encompass MMA, boxing, DJs, hip-hop, the night scene, all kinds of stuff that kind of wraps up the culture and stuff of Tampa, Florida, and Noemi's a big part of that. And so I wanted to have her on the show here, too. She actually has a fight coming up tomorrow night at the Tampa Bay Times Forum. So that was another reason I said, all right, Noemi, you got to come on the show. She's an awesome young lady, and she's going to do big things in boxing. She's currently, I think, 5-2 or 4-2 as a pro boxer. So we'll be excited to talk with her in the evening. That'll test me and you quite well because it's out of our comfort zone, I think. So we should have some fun with that interview, and Noemi's an awesome girl. So, I know, Spencer, you got something going on this weekend, man, so go ahead and spill the beans.
First off, I just want to say, Matthew, I was on the show last week, so I didn't really get to talk about RFO, Big Guns 13. I covered that event. It was a pretty decent event. I'm not going to talk about that big. I've been to three of their events now, that promotion, up in northern Ohio. And out of the three, this was definitely the least exciting one. There was a couple of great knockouts. I saw my first slam KO. That was pretty awesome to see. But that event went down. You can always see the results of that on MMAMadhouse.com. But coming up this weekend for us here in Ohio is IT Fight Series 26. This is a pro-am card. We have about 5 amateur fights, 4 professional fights. The main event for the professionals is going to be Eric Adderd against Trent McCone, and Chico Bays versus J.D. Kraft is the co-main event. A couple of big-name fighters on here, at least in this area. I'm excited to cover it. It's going to be my first IT Fight Series event. I've heard a lot about this promotion, and they're actually coming to me. Normally they're up north in Ohio. They're coming down to Columbus, so I don't have to travel too far. I'm happy about that. So I can't wait for this event, and as always, the results will be posted on MMAMadhouse.com as well as Cage Zombies Radio, so check those out if you're interested in that.
You know what's funny? I've actually got an invite to IT Fight Series. I started daydreaming. I was like, how badass would that be, man? We cover an event together and just freaking rock the place. But I had to decline because obviously I won't be in Ohio this weekend.
It's funny. I actually get invites to all the Florida events because of you. So I'm just like, maybe.
Yeah, you know, whenever I get invite, I'll get them from events going on all over the country and stuff. And I don't ever like to decline. I like to at least hit the maybe so that I'm still aware of it so that I can try and remember, like when the show rolls around, try and remember that it's going down so that we can talk about it. It doesn't always work. I tend to end up kind of blanking on it and forgetting all about it. But, I'm excited. We have there's just so much going on in MMA that it's like it's just impossible, and there's no excuse to not go out and support local MMA somehow in some way. You know, it's going on all around you. Whether it's, you know, if you can't get out to it, it's turning on Access to watch some MMA. You know, it doesn't live or die by the UFC. And that's the point where we've gotten in the sport where it's more than the UFC, and it's a beautiful thing, man. It's an amazing thing, and I couldn't be happier. And I think that I don't want to see the sport kind of plateau or kind of stall. I want to see it keep growing, and I think that for now, it is continuing to grow, and we're seeing lots of good and stuff. And so it's cool that we have that to where, you know, I'm getting invites to events that I'll probably never be able to go to, but that connection's being made and the sport's growing in that way that those promotions, those local promotions like IT Fight Series and the World Class Fight League out of Tampa are getting that coverage and stuff. So so check this out real quick. We're going to give Andrea Lee here a call in just a moment or two. But before we do that, I want to this article caught my eye from BJPenn.com. It says the UFC announces first strawweight fight in promotion history. Now, this is pretty this is kind of a landmark, man. This is kind of a historic thing here for the first ever women's strawweight fight in the UFC. You know, I think that I don't want to at all have people under the impression that I think that the UFC is the say-all, end-all of women's MMA. Women's MMA will strive and grow with or without the UFC's help. But seeing as the UFC currently is helping it grow and doing some good for it, I like to see stuff like this. And with that said, we have Claudia Gadelha versus Tina Ladamaki, which I'm probably mispronouncing the names, but ultimately I think it deserves recognition. You know, a 115-pound women's fight in the UFC, I think it's a pretty awesome thing. As I've said, I've said over and over and over again that The 115-pound women's division is probably the most exciting division in all of MMA, in my opinion. I think it's amazing. So I'm glad to see that going to be on a UFC fight card. I know that they're getting ready to roll out Tough 20 here with the 115-pound ladies, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to probably be one of the most electrifying Ultimate Fighter seasons they've had thus far, and I'm excited to see that. So congrats to those two ladies on being the first ever UFC strawweight fighters announced as on an official bout card. And looks like they're going to be on the July 16th UFC event. So, right on, man. So that's cool to see. Anyways, moving on. We're going to be joined here shortly by Andrea KGB Lee, a hot new prospect by the XFC, getting ready to hopefully make her debut at one of their first events of the year. Seems like we're having some connection issues with her, so we're going to keep trying. In the meantime, we'll give a quick shout-out to our sponsors here, as we kind of neglected to do as we got started. We just kind of got rolling. But our wonderful sponsors here at Cage Zombies Radio are BrawlBase.com, Ballet Auto Auction, AOL MMA, Crossroader Clothing, All Out Fight Shop, Game Changer Clothing, Persist Headwear, Jax Media Canada, Pro-Am Belts, and, of course, The Great Intimidation Clothing. Now, with that said, I believe we do have Andrea ready to go. We're going to see here if Spencer's got her ready to bring in. Andrea is a 6-3 fighter. It looks like she's getting ready to fight on Legacy. I think Spencer's got her ready to go, so we'll go ahead and bring her in.
All right, so Spencer. We are live with Andrea KGB, which, I mean, that's an awesome nickname right there. How are you doing tonight, Andrea?
Thank you. I'm doing good. Like I said, I just got home from the gym, so it's been a long day of training, just getting ready for my fight coming up.
All right, now, first, before we get started on that fight, let's talk a little bit about your recent signing with the XFC. You know, how did you feel when they contacted you?
I was ecstatic about that. You know, it all happened so quickly. I wasn't expecting that. You know, I'm still amateur, so when they contacted me out of the blue, wanted me to sign with them, you know, it was like a dream come true. It was a dream come true. I mean, because you know, I wasn't expecting it as, you know, as an amateur, and to be signed so early was awesome, because normally you have to be a pro and have had a few fights before you get noticed, it seems, but that caught me off guard, and I was really excited about that.
Right on. Now moving to your upcoming fight, this fight, if I'm not mistaken, and correct, I may be wrong here, but this fight at Legacy 32 will be your pro debut, correct?
No, it'll be my last amateur MMA fight, actually. Pro debut will be in August in Florida.
Oh,
August,
okay. That's going to be XFC 28, which is going to be August, or most likely August in Tampa, Florida. So that'll be your pro debut.
Yes, that's what we're shooting for.
Okay, because I wasn't sure there, because I know Legacy does pro and AMIs, and I thought Legacy 32 would be all pro. I didn't realize that they were doing AMIs on that. So now this will be, if I'm not mistaken, your first fight with Legacy, and you fought for some awesome promotions. You fought for Ascend Combat. You fought for B3. How does it feel being on this Legacy fight card, knowing that you're leaving the amateur ranks on one of the top amateur promotions in the state?
It's great. Legacy is an awesome promotion, and for them to reach out to me and want me to be a part of their card, you know, I mean, I'm excited about it, and it's extremely a big deal to me, and it's a huge fight, and it's a huge opportunity, and I words can't really express how I feel, but I mean, it's a great opportunity. I'm just excited about it.
Right on. Now I've got to ask you off the fighting topic here. You have quite one of the biggest mouths in all of MMA on your side all the time, and she's always preaching about you. How did you and Kelly connect, and kind of talk to us a little bit about the relationship there?
Well, Kelly actually, my fight between me and it was me and Caitlin Chikagian had been posted on Facebook, and she wasn't at the fight, but she saw it posted on Facebook, and she just decided to watch it, and you know, she was just really, really blown away and impressed by my performance, you know, that she reached out to me, and then she started helping promote me some on her Facebook, get me in contact with Babes of MMA, and getting my pictures out there, getting my name out there, and then that's how, you know, XFC actually noticed me, was through her. And you know, and then she just, you know, we decided that, you know, she's done so great at promoting me and helping to get me so much exposure that we kind of pulled her on as a manager.
Right
as
on.
A secondary manager. So we have a great relationship. She's awesome.
She's quite the personality. I've talked with her quite a bit myself. We exchange texts and messages every now and then. I keep in touch because she's kind of becoming like the epicenter of Southern MMA, where everything kind of
right.
runs through her, and she knows just about everything that's going on. So I know that she's her reputation is solid, and that if she's got belief in somebody and says that somebody's kind of going to revolutionize women's MMA, that I'm going to believe her. And therefore, that's why I've kind of been secretly paying attention and seeing your fights, you know, build up and your wins build up. And then when I heard that you were signed by the XFC, I was like, okay, you know, this is kind of moving in a good direction. And then, man, when that signing went down, Kelly just kind of lit up the social networking sites like I've
right.
never seen. The girl stays active. So, I mean, it's got to be cool as a young lady like yourself. You know, you've on your own, you've put together a great fight record. And the record speaks for itself. Your talent speaks for itself. But to have somebody like her on your side kind of help and promote you and manage you, it's got to really make things, for you to be focusing on the fight, it's got to make things a lot easier.
It does. It really does. It helps out a lot, you know. And you know, she, you know, her and my husband, my coach, you know, they both do such a great job at promoting and managing me. And without them, I don't think that I would be signed with the XFC right now. I probably wouldn't even be fighting for Legacy if it wasn't for those two. So, I mean, I really, you know, appreciate both of them so much.
So tell us a little bit in your background. How did you get involved with MMA? What brought you to the sport?
I grew up as a tomboy. You know, I was playing football with the guys and stuff. So, like, martial arts was always something that I was interested in. But growing up in a small town, I didn't really have the opportunity to sign up at a gym because we didn't really have that around there. We didn't have karate or boxing or kickboxing or anything. And so, you know, I just kind of pushed it off until I graduated from high school and I moved to Shreveport, and I kept on seeing all, like, advertisements for boxing and kickboxing and everything that I wanted to do. And finally I just decided, well, I'm going to go to one of those gyms. I'm going to check it out. And somebody had mentioned Donnie Aaron and told me that he was phenomenal and he was great and he would train girls. And so I called him up, and we met at the gym, and he tested me out. He checked me out, you know, just to see if I had any talent or the drive to want to do it. And sure enough, you know, he realized that there was something in me, and he pushed me to compete. And instead of treating it like a hobby, he actually got me into competing and taking it serious. And now I'm here. And so it was a great choice for me.
I mean, I'd say so, yeah, because in a very short time, you've managed to, like I was saying, put together, you know, a 6-3 record with the opportunity to close out your amateur career on one of the top promotions in the country. Already signed, not even pro yet, and already signed by one of the fastest growing promotions in the country. It's got to be, you know, I would say, hey, you know what, you made a good choice there.
I would say so too. You know, I mean, I was kind of lost, you know. I didn't really know what I was going to do, you know. I mean, being barely 20, you know, you're always kind of, I mean, at that age, you don't really know what you want to do with your life. And so this has really helped me out a lot. It's put me on a career path, it's just taken off for me.
Yeah.
It's great.
So now coming at, you know, being from Louisiana, what part of Louisiana are you from, by the way?
I live in Shreveport, Bossier, Louisiana. It's close to Texas and Arkansas. It's in the Texas-Arkansas corner.
I was born in Bossier City.
Arklatex. Oh, you guys? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, then you know where I'm at.
Yeah, I was born in Bossier City, lived in Shreveport, and lived in Monroe until my family moved to Florida. So I don't have a lot of memories of the area, but I do, you know, for the most part have a generalized memory of you know, what's where and all that kind of stuff. And the only memories I have of Bossier weren't good ones. It was or I should say Shreveport, actually. Shreveport was not so hot. Wasn't that great of a town.
No. I'm sure the crime rate was pretty high back then. But since the casinos moved in and cleaned up the streets and stuff, it's actually, the crime rate's gone down a lot. So it's actually a lot nicer. You know, you still have some rough areas.
Now, you know, being in a state like Louisiana that's got good MMA and it's got great MMA that surrounds it, you know, you've got lots of good promotions, like, you know, in very, very good driving direction, you know, to Texas. You know, there's good stuff in Alabama, Mississippi. How has that kind of helped you flourish and grow as a young fighter? How has that helped you flourish?
It's helped me out a lot because I haven't had to travel too far. Since we've had the promotion of Sin Combat, you know, in our hometown, like, that's actually helped me out a lot because we were able to get, you know, some females to come to us, and that helped me so that I didn't have to travel too much. But for the most part, you know, here recently, it's actually been harder for me to get fights in my hometown, so we've had to travel, you know, and go to Tennessee and travel out of the state just to find opponents. And so it's been tougher, but it's great, you know, that that there's so much MMA, there's so much going on around this area in Texas and Arkansas and Alabama, like you said. It really helps out a lot.
Sorry, I'm rambling on. No, that's cool. That's fine. Not at all. I ramble all the time, and they still let me do this right now. No worries here. How does it feel to know that your pro debut, now, you know, you don't know an exact date, but you know, you pretty much know for sure that you're making your pro debut here in Florida. Are you going to kind of feel out of your element, or are you ready to kind of take it all in and enjoy it?
I'm familiar with Florida. I don't feel like I'm going to be too much out of my element. I love Florida. I used to live there for a short time, and, I'm glad that I'm actually a lot happier that my pro debut will be in Florida and not in Brazil. I was not looking forward to having to travel that far on my pro debut, you know, cutting weight and all the nerves and stuff. It would just kind of be overwhelming just a little bit. So I think that, you know, this is a lot better. You know, I'm working my way into my first pro fight, and, you know, so it's a lot better that it's going to be in the States and not out of the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
And leaving.
Have you gotten to talk to John Prisco much? You know, what's your first impressions of the promotion and how they've been working with you so far?
They've been working with me great. You know, they allowed me to finish out my amateur fight career. Like, I had a couple of fights that I was already obligated to, and I signed my contract a few months back. You know, we talked with him, and he, you know, he said that he'd let me go ahead and finish out these last few amateur fights. And he seems to be like a really great person, and he'll work with you if you just talk to him. You just ask him. You know, he seems like a really great boss.
Right on.
I'm glad that John Prisco is our head guy. Sorry.
Well, I know that, you know, you've been quite experienced in MMA. You fought for a bunch of really notable promotions. I think that once you get to the XFC, once you're stepping in that cage and making that pro debut, you're going to kind of see this whole other level of greatness and kind of I'm sure you'll definitely elevate your potential to that. You know, you'll have one of the greatest voices in MMA announcing you with Cyrus Fees, the greatest marketing team in MMA behind you with TJ Alcock, and one of the top promoters out there with John. So I know that you're in good hands here making your pro debut, and hopefully you have a nice long relationship with the XFC. You know, before we let you go, I don't want to keep you much longer. We like to give all of our guests the opportunity to shout out to their sponsors and where people can find them on social media. So I want you to go ahead and feel free to do that.
Thank you. I would like to thank all of my sponsors. I'd like to thank Pro 27, Cash Time, Herbalife for my nutritional needs, and Ranchland for supplying me with all of my cowboy hats and my Western wear. I'd like to thank XINX and Takedown Submission Position Grappling Company. Crap, I'm very bad at this. Like, I'm at this moment. Well, thank you to all of my sponsors and everybody that helps me out, to all my friends, my family, my fans. Y'all are all awesome, and I couldn't do this without you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Donnie Ehring, as my coach, my husband. Thank you, Brent Mason, you know, for helping coach me, too, as well. Thank you to all of my training partners at Karate Mafia. I really appreciate everything that y'all do. Y'all help whip me into shape every time that I need y'all, and I really, really appreciate everything that y'all do for me. Thank you very much. Couldn't do it without y'all. And that's all.
What about Kelly?
I'm sorry. I meant to say thank you so much, Kelly Carson, for all of your managing and promoting me. And I apologize. I totally didn't mean to drop the ball on that one. You're certainly not last. You're not least, I mean. But I appreciate you so much. Love you, Kelly. You know I do.
I'm sure she's not even listening to my show anyhow. Don't worry about it.
But she might hear it later.
Right on. Well, listen, yeah. Andrea, we appreciate having you on here. Looking forward to seeing that pro debut. Obviously, if your pro debut is on that XFC 28 card, I'll be there in person. So we'll have to definitely make sure to take a moment and meet each other. I won't get in your way. I like to stay out of fighters' ways before fights, but I do tend to get annoying at some point during the night and always want to meet everybody and stuff. And I'll be definitely looking forward
That's
to meeting
fun.
You. So best of luck.
Yeah,
to you.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to meeting you. Thank you.
Yeah, best of luck to you next weekend at Legacy 32, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me tonight. Y'all have a good night.
You got it. You got it. Have a good night.
Bye.
Right on, man. That's Andrea KGB Lee. And as I say that, I realize that I never even thought to ask her about the nickname. I feel like an idiot right now. I'll have to get back on that one. We'll have to get back with her on Twitter and be like, you know, I'm a goof. Sorry about that. But anyways, thank you, Andrea, for joining us. We had a great time. Fun girl. Lots of cool stuff to say. And looking forward to it, man. You know, I'm kind of like, I'm antsy over here, knowing that with the XFC making their 2014 debut in Tampa, it's going to be a big show. You know, it's been a while. I know they're going to want to put a lot of their top names on that fight card, and I'm just like, I'm beside myself with the excitement over the potential of that fight card. So hopefully we'll see her on that fight card and look forward to seeing her make her pro debut there and get a chance to meet her and talk with her for a couple minutes. So yeah, man.
That fight card should fill up pretty fast, easily.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see the matchups they make. I know they've already talked about a few, but I'm excited to see the full card put together. And I'm just happy they're back.
Yeah, man, me too. You have to excuse me. I'm eating dinner. Anyways. dude, I got to say, off the MMA topic real quick, I know I'm sitting here watching the NBA Finals. I know you're watching the NBA Finals. The Spurs are just like, they're working the heat, man. It looks like an NBA team playing a high school JV team right now.
Man, the Spurs aren't even the San Antonio Spurs. They're, my dad and I were talking about this before the game. They're the international Spurs. They got a player from every country in the world.
Yeah, it's insane, man. It's crazy how good. Of course, and now my TV is frozen at the moment. That's awesome. But anyways, so yeah, let's see what we got here. Let's play a song. We'll take a break real quick, then we'll come back, and then in about 7 minutes we're gonna go live with the always wonderful Amber Apex Predator Stotzenberger. So in the meantime, see what we got here. You in the mood for anything specific? Or I'm just going to pick something. There we go. I got one. Enjoy.
It's called TNC. Thank you guys again. Have a great night. We'll be right back.
that's a great one by one of my favorite bands, Thrice, at their farewell tour they did. Cool, great song. So real quick before we jump in with Amber Stotzenberger, we'll give her a call here in the next couple minutes. Let's talk real quick about this Chael Sonnen thing. It's ridiculous, but it's worth talking about. So Chael fails his drug test the other day and is pulled from the UFC 175 card, and he had just come off of giving, you know, Vanderlei all this crap and doing the same old Chael Sonnen stuff about Vanderlei not taking his drug test, running from the drug test center, whatever it was. And then Chael comes out, fails his drug test, and turns around, like, not even 24 hours later, within half a day later, and retires from MMA. Now, I'll give my real quick on this. I think it's ridiculous, but I think it's Chael Sonnen. Therefore, I'm in no way surprised, nor am I concerned or shocked. I think it's Chael put on some good fights. Chael was entertaining, but I think his time has come, and I think it was the right call for him to retire, regardless of the drug situation. That's what I have to say.
Well, yeah, and I talked about this the last show I was on. That sounds bad. I missed like two shows in a month's time. But I talked about this the last time I was on. Chael Sonnen gave Vanderlei all that crap about not taking the drug test. Well, that's all well and good, but he takes the drug test and then fails it. And then the retirement afterwards, I think that's just him having enough of it. I think he knows he can't fight without that extra stuff in his body now. And I don't even dislike the guy. When he was fighting Silva, that whole fiasco, he kind of got on my nerves a little bit. But, I mean, the last couple of fights, I don't think he earned the fights with Jones and Rashad. I think he was getting too high of caliber of opponent. But I don't dislike him. But when he came out and did this, I read this, I was kind of upset with it. I think him retiring was a bit much, but like I said, I don't think he can handle that level of competition, and I don't think he can handle fighting without all that extra stuff. I guess he's going to stay in the announcing business, and what's funny about this whole thing is I read an article probably 2 or 3 days before it came out about him possibly becoming the next president of the UFC after Dana White's done. Well, I don't think the UFC wants a president that can't even follow the rules of the sport.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I hadn't heard that, so that's kind of surprising to me right now, but I think it's the charismaticness and the character and stuff which will take him far beyond fighting, and potentially, who knows, we could probably very well see this guy at a high-ranking position with the UFC, because ultimately the UFC is more business than it is fair sport, and I agree with you, though. I don't think this guy should be running the sport at all, but running the promotion at all, running the UFC at all, but I think that ultimately they're going to do whatever makes most business sense, and a guy like Chael Sonnen is great for business. That's bottom line, and that's almost undisputable, I think. I mean, you can argue anything. I'm not going to say it's fact, but I think it's very easy to see that this guy's great for business and therefore should probably be put in some sort of a business position that helps the company. But with that said, let's go ahead and jump in with Amber. I don't want to keep her waiting any longer. But I don't know. Chael's been ridiculous his whole career, but he's put on some good fights, and I couldn't agree with Spencer more about his last couple fights there. He's getting fights that he didn't really deserve and stuff. But it's whatever. He'll be sitting behind a desk now, and we'll get to see more talented guys getting those title shots instead of Chael.
I do want to say one more thing. I have to give credit where credit's due. Bree actually called him retiring as soon as he failed the drug test. I thought that was pretty funny.
You're teaching her well, man. That's awesome. She knows her stuff.
No, I disagreed with her. She was actually right.
She showed you. Don't let her hear that you said she was right. Don't let those words get back to her now. Yeah, Spencer's going to go ahead and give Amber a call. But words of wisdom, man, is once you tell them one time that they're right about something, you will never hear the end of it. And I know Bree usually listens to our show, so take it easy on him, Bree. You guys tend to be right quite a bit, and we have to deal with it. So take it easy on him. You did call that one pretty good, though, Bree, and good for you. So I hope that I hope Spencer's being good to you, and you guys are having a good summer together. And I think we have I think we have Amber ready to go. Let's see here real quick. We want to, once again, just want to say, we appreciate all of our sponsors here at Cage Zombies Radio. We got a great team of sponsors that help us come on the air each week, and we greatly appreciate that, man. So, I think we got Amber Stotzenberger ready to go, and with that, we welcome back one of our favorite guests, and that is the Apex Predator, Amber Stotzenberger. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very good. It's always wonderful to have you on the show here. You've been able to be part of a couple of our Ladies' Nice episodes, and I always appreciate it. You know, you tend to, we tried to get you on the week before your fight, and it didn't work out, and you were just awesome and very gracious with it and stuff, and it's always fun to talk with you. So how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm sorry I couldn't make it last week.
Nope, no worries. I understand. I never want to get in the way of a fighter's preparation, and whenever a fighter has, you know, says whether it's weight or whether it's just the focus, whatever it is, I'm always understanding, because I want to be the last reason a fighter ever, you know, has any, whether it's good or bad, I don't want to be in the way of fighter's preparation for a fight. So, now coming off of the fight, it was a tough fight, a very tough fight, close fight, and you take a decision loss. What were your initial feelings about the fight?
As far as the fight itself, I think it was a fair call. I would have given her the fight. It was a 29-28 decision. Some people said they thought I won. I think she did. Some people said it could have gone either way, but, you know, I gave it to her.
Right on. Now, how were you feeling mentally, everything going into the fight? Were you feeling like you normally do? Were you feeling better? What was your kind of mental preparation leading up to this fight?
Mentally, I felt fine. I felt confident. We had a game plan, and I felt like it would have worked. I actually had a terrible weight cut, and I went to see the doctor this week. They think I might have had a heat stroke or heat exhaustion, and like I still feel it right now. But I mean, if it wasn't for that, I think I would have had strength. I remember in the third round, she had me in her guard, and I would go up. In my head, I was thinking, I have to knock her out if I want to win this fight. Like, that was my only way to win. And every time I would come up to either throw an elbow or, you know, a punch, it would come back with, like, nothing behind it. It's no power.
Right. Now, you know, you're Now that the fight, you know, it's kind of settled, it's sunken in, you're back, you know, how are you already back to training? Do you take a little bit of time off? How do you work things post-fight?
Usually I'd be back in the gym right now, but I haven't been able to go back just because my...
Right.
I'm still not recovered from the weight cut, which is like a first for me.
Gotcha. Now, was there something different about your weight cut this time that you haven't done before, or is there any reason that you could think caused this?
Usually when I cut weight, I either do like a hot Epsom salt bath to, you know, drain the liquid out of my body, the water out of my body, or I'll do like a dry sauna. There, the water wouldn't get hot enough, and they had a wet sauna available, which I kind of think that screwed with me a lot. It was a whole lot more intense, but I have a nutritionist now as of this week, so that way maybe I don't have to cut as much water, because even if it's not the sauna, I don't want to have to go through this again, so
right.
Maybe diet down instead of dehydrating myself as much as I usually do.
Right, understood. You know, I know that, you know, with when it comes to weight cut is such a fickle thing that any slight differences can mess with somebody. You know, it can mess up somebody's routine. It can mess up the way things do. It can really affect the body. So I know that, you know, something like that, maybe to somebody who's not familiar with it could say, okay, well, it's a big deal. But to somebody who knows it, who understands, you know, the art of cutting weight, because I think cutting weight is probably one of the most pivotal and hardest parts about fighting is to do that, because it puts your body through a lot. And I think that you have to be more than physical toughness, you have to have that mental toughness and mental focus to be able to cut that weight and have your body maintain it and be able to do that. So I know that the importance of a routine, of the proper routine, and when slight differences come into that, it can mess with somebody. And I think that maybe the average MMA fan doesn't know that, but I think that for you it's something that you didn't know what would happen, you know, and I think it's a good learning lesson, and I think that it's something that you moving forward can use to teach younger fighters and stuff about the importance of weight cut.
Right, and I, you know, I've only been fighting professionally 2 years. I've only been cutting weight for 2 years, so it's about like 7 fights now. And I'm just, you know, I learned my lesson. Coming, something worse, I guess, could have happened, but I feel it's better I learned my lesson early on in my career than, like, you know, rather than a title fight, you know, from Victor or something down the line where I just couldn't handle it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, and I love the fact that you dropped the Invicta name. I can't wait to see you on an Invicta card. I think that as they get to, as they start to kind of get things together and start to announce some dates and work some stuff out, I think you are one of the top talented 115ers out there that isn't, has not yet been picked up by one of these major promotions, and I think that a lot of these people are sleeping on you when they really shouldn't be. So hopefully we can see some things take place and some moves be made, and as Invicta continues to kind of search out the 115-pounders, which I've said for a long time is probably the most entertaining and fastest-growing division in MMA. I think that people are going to come knocking on your door. Win, loss, it doesn't matter. You're one of the top talents out there, and I think that they're going to see that and stuff. So, what's on the agenda moving forward now? So what are you doing, you know, right on the horizon, what's on your focus?
Well, I plan to be back in the gym by next week and just, you know, continue training, adding some new stuff in as far as training goes. But as for a fight, I don't have anything lined up yet. We're trying to find something maybe for August or September, but nothing in the books yet.
Hey, right on. I think that's a great time for the XFC to come calling. The XFC is about to make a big splash here in August, and if you're looking to fight in August, I think that's a perfect relationship there with Amber and the XFC. So if we have a good relationship here with the XFC, if anybody from them happens to keep listening, you guys should probably go ahead and start ringing Amber's phone and get in contact with her. So, listen, I don't want to keep you all that much more. I know that, you know, it's late and you've had a, like you said, you know, you're kind of feeling out right now because of the dehydration and stuff. I do thank you for joining us. I know it's you know, I know it can be tough for a fighter coming out of a fight with some health concern, whether it's a minor thing, whether it's a major thing. So I do appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us. I tell you all the time, you know, you're one of my favorites out there, and I hope to see you fight in person one day.
Well, that would be great if you did, and, like, I always like being on your show. Maybe you could be before a fight next time as well, and or even with a win.
Right on.
Post-fight. Yeah.
Absolutely, Amber. You're always welcome on the show. Before we let you get out of here, though, I want to give you a chance to give some shout-outs to your sponsors and where people can find you on social media.
Okay, social media, Twitter, Amber Stotts, Facebook, if you just want to look me up, Amber Stotts and Burger, if you like my fan page, that would be great. And as far as my thank yous go, of course, I want to thank my gym who helped prepare me for this fight. I saw a lot of big improvements. There's good things I did in this fight that we had been working on. So I want to thank my main coach, Alan Moeller, Will Camposano, Tristan Grimsley, who is also my fiance, but he's one of my main coaches. And then my sponsors, AmlaGo.com, Knockout, Gamma Labs, M. King Construction, Michelle from Anova Richardson, Mouthpiece Guy, and I'm sure there's a few more, but I can't remember them off the top of my head. So, Core Physical Medicine, and sorry if I forget anybody else, but I think that's it.
Right on. Well, right on, Amber. Always good to talk to you. Take care, and we'll talk soon, all right?
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
You got it. War Apex Predator. All right. Take it easy, Amber.
Thanks. Bye.
That's Amber, the Apex Predator Stotzenberger. Let me say this: you know, she's on a 2-fight losing streak after being on a 4-fight winning streak. But this girl has so much talent and so much potential in this sport. You know, she had the tough rear naked choke loss there at Winter Brawl, a tough decision loss here at Beatdown. But she hasn't even scratched the surface yet of what she's got for the sport. And I think that it's going to be big things for her down the line. And I do think that. It bothered me now, as I've said, she is one of my favorite fighters. I've watched a lot of her on YouTube, watched her fights. I've never actually got to see her fight. I've seen one or two of her fights online stream, But this girl, one of the top 115ers out there, and it irks me that she is not yet signed by somebody, you know, that at Invicta or XFC or somebody hasn't come calling and given her a chance. I really think that she could be fighting next-level talent. I know she suffered a couple tough losses. Before this, her only loss had come at the hands of Paige VanZant, and now Paige had just about beat everybody in her division along the way to being signed by the UFC. So Amber is one of the top talents out there, and I really think people need to give this girl a chance, sign her. She's fought for great regional promotions, Dakota Fighting Championships, Extreme Knockout, Beatdown, Spring Brawl. She's fought for a lot of great regional promotions, but I think that she deserves a chance as much as anybody else does with some type of a contract from the Invicta, from the XFC, from somebody out there to put this girl on a major fight card. And that's what I got to say. And yes, like I've said many times, she's one of my favorites. She's an awesome young fighter. Always love having her on the show here. But impartially, I think she's an amazing talent, and people need to start paying her attention.
Now, I want to jump off of that. You mentioned Invicta several times. Obviously, the XFC is definitely a great place for women's MMA. Normally, I would say Invicta is, but I'm feeling pretty hesitant of saying that as of recent. Of course, Invicta signing a content deal with UFC Fight Pass. I'm not too big a fan of a Fight Pass. What do you think of that, Matthew?
We touched on this very last minute last week, me and Kari. I hate it. I think it's terrible. I think that now the UFC has their hand gripped tightly on the top women's promotion in the world. I think that while on the surface people may think it's awesome, and maybe in the short time it's awesome, but what has UFC done to every other promotion that they have put their hands onto? They have shut them down. They have bled them dry and shut them down. So I don't know what this means in the long term, how much control the UFC is going to have, how much they're going to involve themselves in Invicta's business and Invicta's operations, but I'm fearful for what is the future of Invicta, and it's unfortunate because Invicta FC is amazing, and I'm not saying in any way that they're not amazing because of this. I still think they're going to do awesome things. I just hope that the UFC, that whatever this partnership, whatever this contract is, I hope that it's from a distance, and I hope that the UFC does not directly oversee everything Invicta does, because I think they will bleed them dry.
Well, I will say this. If there was any doubt that Invicta was a minor league to the UFC, that's all been removed now. This was a great move by the UFC. Of course, their interest is swallowing all the promotions, bringing them all in, and making the UFC MMA. Of course, we know MMA is not the UFC.
Exactly.
They think the other way around. I was really upset to see this. I was looking forward to see where Invicta FC was going. This was not what I had in mind. Of course, I'm not Shannon Knapp. I wish the promotion the best of luck, but I'll tell you this right now. Any fighter for Invicta that gets a title with Invicta, the UFC is just going to sign. There's not going to be any constant champion with Invicta, and that's sad to say.
Yeah, it's going to be a direct feeder system. Anytime they have a fighter coming up doing big things, the UFC is going to take them. Now, for the fighters, this is great. I understand that there's two very diverse point of views to this situation. One of them being, as you mentioned, I think this was a great business move by the UFC. Phenomenal business move by the UFC. I think for the sport side of it, though, I think it's a negative impact. I see it being a negative impact in the long run. As for now, we can't really tell what's going to happen, but I think this is a negative thing in the long run, and I don't like it. With that said, for these fighters, it's an amazing thing. It's a big thing for them to know that, you know what, if I start to do good in this promotion, I'm going to get a chance with the UFC, and I think that's awesome for them because that's what everybody fights for, is to fight for the biggest promotion out there. I get it. I respect it, and that's no problem. But I think that for the sport as a whole, and I know the UFC wants to think they're the sport, and they try and run things like they are the sport, but they're not the sport. ONE FC is huge. Bellator is huge. XFC is huge. World Series of Fighting is huge. It goes on and on and on. Rough China, Legacy, RFA, you know, it goes on and on. Blackout Fighting Championships is quickly becoming a huge promotion in the Midwest. they are not the sport, despite the fact that they want to think they are. And I think for the sport, for the fan, for you, for me, for Skippy, for Joe MMA, who's a hardcore MMA fan who likes to watch all MMA, I think this is a bad thing because I think this is still the UFC finding a threat and minimizing the threat at all costs.
And jumping off of that, I know we're kind of moving around everywhere.
You got me all fired up on that one.
I'm going to say this. I do agree with you completely with that. But you mentioned 1FC now, and I want to talk about this. Man, 1FC is cranking out events. They have another event tomorrow. Saturday, excuse me, in Indonesia. Main event, Adriano Moraes versus Keisuke Suzuki. Man, they're really cranking out these events. That's great to see because we've mentioned several shows in a row how the 1FC is the next best promotion as far as numbers go to the UFC. They're raking in the second most amount of money. And I just think it's great that they're having more and more events, whereas before Asian promotions will typically only have maybe three events a year. I think this is maybe their fifth or sixth event this year alone, and I know they had an event probably 2 weeks ago. So that's really good to see that they're having another event so soon.
Let me ask you this now on this subject of 1FC, they had the event May 30th. It was headlined by Ben Askren's triangle choke first round triangle choke win in his debut for the promotion. But yeah, I gotta say real quick about the 1FC. I think that in today's MMA, they've just started labeling them. You know, it's just, you know, it's Bellator 100, it's UFC 170, whatever. I think that the major promotions have gotten away from giving each event some type of a nickname, something cool, and the UFC and 1FC does that for every event, and I absolutely love it. I mean, you talk about they debuted with 1FC Champion versus Champion, 1FC Battle of Heroes, Destiny of Warriors, Pride of a Nation. You know, and now these latest ones, you've got the one that took place, like I said, just May 30th there with Ben Askren. You had Honor and Glory. Now this upcoming one is Era of Champions, and then the next one is War of Dragons. I freaking love that, dude. That is awesome. But
it's funny because my buddy and I were just talking about this, why the UFC got away from that. We always thought that was cool back before we kind of broadened our horizons and watched some other mixed martial arts promotions. But, yeah, 1FC is sticking with it. Every event, as far as I know, has had a name to it. And I don't know. There's some silly, but it makes it that much cool.
It makes it awesome. And the thing is with 1FC is, like, one of the coolest things about Pride was kind of, like, the grandeur and the excitement of it. You know, they made it – it was fighting, but while it was still – they kind of had, like a theatrical – feeling to the entrances, to the announcing, and 1FC still does a lot of that, and they kind of keep with that, and I think that's awesome because that's what made early MMA fun, was that, yeah, you were seeing a new kind of fighting, you were seeing all this stuff kind of wrapped into one, like holy crap, you know, I'm seeing a guy get knocked out, and the next fight I'm seeing a guy get put to sleep by a choke, you know, what's happening right now, my mind is exploding, and I think a lot of that came in, MMA reached its popularity, and reached the height it did early on because of somebody like Pride FC, who added that great aspect of full contact fighting, the first real form of full fighting out there, the first on such a grand scale is what I mean to say, and they kind of added that with amazing announcing, you know, with I'm drawing a blank on her name, but she still does it. Yeah, there you go. And she's still doing it 1FC, and you get the theatrical feeling to the entrances and stuff, and it's cool. It's cool because it's like, you know, it gets you a little bit more involved with who these are, because let's be honest, you know, for us here, you know, a lot of these fighters, these names on these 1FC cards, they're not common to us. We don't really know them. So to kind of see a little bit of excitement come with it, it gets us more enticed, and we want to more know about these guys and these ladies. And then when we go see them fight, we're like, wow, you know, they're pretty cool. There's some good talent. And I think that's why the 1FC is thriving, is because they're feeding off of a lot of the old-school feel mixed with the evolution and progression of the sport. And I think that is why they are just a massive success in Asia and throughout the world.
That's funny that you mentioned Lynn. I was just looking up what her name was. So I was going to say a lot of people think Bruce Buffer's the best announcer. Of course, Cyrus for the XFC is amazing, but I think Lynn takes the gold there. She has the craziest announcing, and when I think of MMA announcing, that's the first person I think of. I know common MMA fans in the States aren't necessarily going to think, oh, back to the Pride days, and I know a lot of them don't watch 1FC, but that just gets you pumped up. That makes you think, as soon as those guys are walking out, this is a mixed martial arts fight.
Exactly right, man. I couldn't agree more. And I think that, you know, not to hate on Bruce Buffer, Bruce Buffer is amazing at what he does. I think that the not seeing her in the ring when she's announcing it, I think it adds to an allure. It's like kind of like a mystical thing to it, you know what I mean? And when Bruce Buffer's out there, you see him and stuff, and it's cool, you know, the guy's always looking dapper, but there's a mystery to it when you don't see her announcing and you just hear the voice and these guys come out to all these theatrics. It's cool, and I think that's kind of why they're thriving so well over there.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll have to post a video to Cage Zombies Radio's Facebook page. If you're not familiar with Lynn, I can't say anything else. I mean, words don't explain. You really get chills when you hear her announce somebody. And the first person that comes to mind for me is Shinya Aoki. I used to get pumped when I was younger for Aoki's fights. And he walked out to Baka Survivor, which is probably still one of my favorite walkout songs, next to Vanderlei coming out to Sandstorm. But, it just gives you chills.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, my friend. This is kick-ass, man. I love doing this. Look, I'm big on, like, nostalgia. I love old-school stuff. I could sit and talk to somebody for days about 90s basketball, about just I love the feel of nostalgia, and we're having a great time here talking about you know, 1FC and what they're doing and mixing it up. But we do have to kind of move on here and get our next guest on the line, because I don't want to disrespect her by leaving her hanging around. But this is definitely a topic that we will come back to at some point, talk more about, because obviously Spencer and I are both very passionate about it, and we have a lot to say about it. So with that being said, though, we are going to be joined here real shortly by Desiree Wilson, a fighter out of Kentucky, who's getting ready to fight. She's a 1-1 amateur fighter, getting ready to fight this weekend on the Goddess of War Championships, which is going to be an all-female AMI fight card here in Port Richey, Florida, at the All Sports Arena. The All Sports Arena is the same arena that puts on Arena Fighting Championships about once every month and a half or so, and they're going to be making some good history, hoping to see a packed house out there tomorrow night. Or, I'm sorry, Saturday night. I keep thinking today's Friday. Today is Thursday. Duh. It's Cage Zombies Radio, and so we're excited. I'm excited to be out there and see the first all female AMI fight card in Florida's history. And on that fight card is going to be Desiree Wilson, who joins us now. Desiree, how are you doing?
Good. How are you all?
Doing very good, ma'am. Now I got to see you fight at the Wesley Chapel Fight Night. It took a loss that night, but you put on a good fight. That was your amateur debut, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, very first fight. Fought
right on. Go ahead.
Fought 3 weeks later after that one.
Yeah, right. You fought at Absolute Action MMA as well. Got a first round TKO victory in that fight.
Yeah.
Now
I hope
you
come back some kind of way.
Yeah, right on. Now and right away, I mean, you took a little bit of time off and you're getting ready to fight on this what's going to be a history making fight card this Saturday down here in Port Richey, Florida. So how are you feeling coming into that one?
I'm pretty confident. I'm ready. You know. It hasn't been, you know, too long out and training hard. Been very focused on, you know, what's coming up next.
Right on. Now let me go back a little bit here to the amateur debut. How were you feeling coming into your first ever fight? What were those first time jitters like? What did it feel like?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, not a problem. I was saying what were the first feelings going into your debut amateur fight? What were your initial feelings the first time being in the cage?
You know, my very first time, you know, my blood pressure was pretty normal. You know, when I took my blood pressure, it was low. They thought I was, you know, just got off the couch, you know. I was ready. I was ready. I was very confident. you know. And when I actually got in the cage, you know, that's when all the jitters came, and I'm like, oh, snap, this stuff is real. Like, I'm really about to fight somebody. Like, this woman is right in front of me. Like, you know, it's about to happen. So, and I didn't really understand, you know, Florida's rules, you know. And, you know, in Kentucky, there, you know, you get the ground and pound, you know. The only thing you can't do is elbow in Kentucky. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I don't know what to do with this girl, you know. So that's how the first fight went.
Right.
Pretty much how.
Now, I'm glad you bring that up because people, I don't think people realize kind of the extra rules we have down here in Florida, and it's quite ridiculous if you ask me, but as you mentioned, the differences between being up in Kentucky and Florida, how have you adjusted? Because you made your debut here, then you go and you fight away from here. How did it feel, the differences, and how are you going to have to adjust coming back down to fight here?
Well, you know, by doing jiu-jitsu tournaments and making sure I, you know, stay on it instead of, you know, taking breaks. I don't do breaks. So it kind of teaches me how to, you know, follow different rules. Because, you know, when I go to different tournaments and different, you know, competitions, they all have different rules. So I have to take advantage of any opportunity that I can do. So I, you know, kind of train my brain to understand the rules and making sure that I don't do this or don't do that. So coming from a state that I can ground and pound, and then coming to a state where I'm wearing shin guards and, you know, I can't knee to the face and things like that.
Yeah.
And you know, she's gonna get punched in the face a lot because I can't ground and pound. So, yeah.
it's a little bit on the annoying side, I think, because I think when Florida is a great state for MMA, but when fighters come out from out of state, they have to adjust to kind of some of the, as I mentioned before, some of the stupid rules we have down here for amateurs. And
I think this is the safest place to fight.
I would agree. I would definitely agree there, and I think that's the only thing that kind of keeps me from really getting aggravated with some of our rules down here. But you are absolutely correct. It is the safest place to fight. And they have made adjustments and stuff. When you've gotten a certain amount of fights now, you can start to do more. And I think, but I think they are still kind of keeping the fighters a little too protected from being able to understand what it's like to be pro. But you're absolutely right. It is one of the safest places to fight. And
right.
I think that the Florida, the Boxing Commission and the rules do a good job of keeping the fighters safe. I also think they hinder the fighters a little bit with being completely pro ready. But with that being said, you get the opportunity to be part of a history-making event this weekend, the first all-female fight card in Florida's history. How does that feel to be part of something so cool?
I feel, you know, accepted, because as a woman, it's kind of, you know, you really don't get that many opportunities to fight anywhere. And then when you, as a woman, fighting on an all-female fight card, you know, it's so hard to even get fights. Because not that many women, you know, want to fight or want to be in a cage fighting another person. So I feel very accepted and really happy that I get to have these opportunities.
Happy. I love that. plain and simple. Just feeling happy about it.
Yes.
Now, are you already down here in Florida, or do you travel down tomorrow? What are you doing?
Yep, I'm at Sonova Beach.
Oh, right on.
In Soho, the beach bar.
Are you at, you say you're at Hudson?
No. Sonova Beach.
Oh, okay. Right on. So now you have, if I'm not mistaken, from what Yanez has told me, you fight out of an affiliate to Highlander MMA, is that correct?
Yes, my coach has been training for 8 years. With Mike Yanez and, you know, under Pablo Popovich. He got his purple belt in the last fight, actually.
Right on. So have you got to, you know, when you're down here, do you get to cross-train with the lady and kind of learn from each other?
Yeah, I trained with them yesterday. As soon as I get to Florida, that's what I'm doing, as soon as I get here.
Right on. Now, how cool is it for you to know that somebody that you've trained with and that you've got a good relationship with is on the, you know, on the verge of being one of the top girls in the sport? Does it give you that inspiration to know, you know what, if she's in that place, I can put myself in that place too and really, you know, go somewhere with this?
Yeah, Delaney is absolutely one of the top female fighters, you know. And, you know, we have a great coach. That even being a part of that makes me feel like, you know, this is what I should be doing. If I'm a part of a team that is supportive and, you know, she's already in Invicta, you know, I see my goals. I see where I'm going. I see this is what I should be doing right now.
Right on. I love the motivation. I love the determination and the focus you've got. And I know that those are kind of some of the biggest factors that really make somebody go far. You know, talent's a big thing. Talent, obviously you need talent, but to have the drive, to have that determination can carry you a long way. When mixed with good talent, it's going to make for big things in your career. Now, before we let you go, I want to ask you one more thing. And that's kind of, you know, how did you find your way to MMA? What brought you into the sport?
You know, I met my coach, you know, last June, and Ray Crenshaw, he's also fighting under Mike Yanez. And, you know, I met him in Louisville, Kentucky, and when I first got with him, I was just going to do fitness modeling. Never worked out a day in my life for none of that kind of stuff. But, you know, he had his team, and they was already doing jiu-jitsu. I've never even heard of jiu-jitsu, so I'm like, I'm just watching them, you know, practice and train and stuff like that. So, you know, as I'm watching them, you know, I used to wrestle with my brothers. So I'm wrestling with them and, you know, trying to do what I just saw them do to each other, you know, not really know what I'm doing. And he just saw that, you know, what I was doing. He's like, you know, that's potential right there. Like, I see where this is going. So, you know, he does also self-defense classes for females. So he was showing, you know, us ladies some things some chokes and trying, you know, stuff that you can do for self-defense. And I was like, wow, I just did this to a guy. I just learned how to choke somebody. I can do this tomorrow. So I'm like, you know, I just started going to practice with him, like training with him every day and stuff like that. So.
Right on.
You know, fighting girls isn't really that hard, you know.
Right on, Desiree. Well, listen, that's awesome. I always love hearing cool stories, and I pretty much ask most of our guests that same question because I like to hear how some, you know, how you guys, you know, you ladies, the guys out there, all the people in the sport. I just like to know how they found the sport. I like to know how it came to them and how they came to it and what kind of ignited that passion. So, well, listen, Desiree, I want to thank you for joining us tonight on the show. Looking forward to seeing you out this weekend. I'll make sure I come up and introduce myself Saturday night at the venue, and looking forward to a great night of fights. Before we let you go, is there any shout-outs that you'd like to give to any sponsors?
I want to shout-out to Highlander Fight Team, Executive Fitness, all my sponsors, Joe's Crab Shack, Ice House, Hard Rock Cafe, A-Star Diamond Company. I really appreciate those guys. Like, I really, really appreciate those guys. And thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate you, too.
Hey, you got it, Desiree. You have yourself a great night, and we'll see you out there Saturday night.
You, too. See you then.
All right. Have a good night, Desiree.
All righty.
Did she just say one of her sponsors was Joe's Crab Shack? How can I get sponsored by Joe's Crab Shack?
That's a pretty awesome sponsor. I don't think that helps with weight cutting though for fighters.
I love Joe's Crab Shack. That's one of me and my girl's favorite spots to go. You know, we don't have one right around us. There's one out in Orlando and one in Daytona. So if we're out in those cities, we always try. We usually try to get out to Joe's. It is a phenomenal restaurant, man. I love that place. So that's awesome. She said Joe's Crab Shack and Ice House. Those aren't great ways to cut weight there, drinking Ice House beer and eating Joe's Crab Shack, but those are two awesome sponsors. No doubt about that. real quick, let me go over this fight card before we move on. This is the Goddess of War Championships. That's this Saturday at the All Sports Arena in Port Richey, Florida. Obviously, Desiree Wilson is on that fight card. Also on that fight card, we're going to have Christy Voris versus Jillian Robertson. We're going to have Hannah Fitzpatrick versus Allison Ainley. We're going to have Robin Caboose-Wisman versus Shaylin Cook. And there's a couple other fights going down on that fight card. But, yeah, that's going to be Saturday night, I believe 7 p.m. at the All Sports Arena in Port Richey, Florida. Going to be a fun night of fights there. Looking forward to a night full of ladies stepping in the cage and going to war. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, go ahead, Spencer. You go ahead and give a rundown of Legacy FC real quick, because that's more of your territory.
Legacy FC, of course, you can always find that on Access TV. It's going to start at 10 tomorrow night. Matthew, for whatever reason, still doesn't have Access TV.
I know, man.
But we got in the main event, William Bubba Bush against Alfonso Gonzalez. That's for the middleweight title. Co-main event, Elias Garcia against former UFC fighter Damasio Page. Down the card, just looking, Eric Valdez versus Alex Black. That fight will be good. Prelims, not televised. Not sure why they don't show them online somewhere. I always prefer when the promotions will show their prelims online, because it's always fun to see the up-and-coming fighters that are just signed by the promotion. Legacy FC is also having an event next Friday, Legacy FC 32, and that's the one that KGB is going to be on the amateur portion of it. But the main event for that one is Thomas Almeida versus Caio Machado. That's for the vacant bantamweight title. Co-main event, Kyle Bradley versus Derek Krantz. But once again, that's 2 weeks out. That's June 20th, also on Access TV. Legacy Fighting Championship, staying busy, just like 1FC, as we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I got to say, man, about the not being able to see the prelims and stuff, man, let me tell you something. This is 2014, dude. We should be able to watch almost any MMA promotion out there on some form of outlet, whether it's through your TV, whether it's through your internet. There is enough technology and enough cheap ways to do it. When you have websites like Go Fight Live, you have Rear Naked Smoke, when you have these websites that very cheaply will run and air your events, and all you need is a halfway decent video crew to come out and film it, and it's not that hard. So I don't understand why it's not happening more often. I could not anywhere find a stream to beat down 11 last week. I wanted to watch both Amber and Delaney fight, but could not happen. And and then of course, you know, I was able to find Cheyenne's fight, since we're talking ladies' night tonight, Delaney Owen got a first round armbar victory, beat down 11. So congrats to Delaney. She will almost certainly be on Invicta's upcoming fight card. And then Cheyenne Bliss was out at Tough Enough, got a tough split decision loss, which I'm still kind of scratching my head about, because she had the most significant move of the first round, which was a nice judo toss with a little bit of ground control. She controlled the second round, all of it, and the third round was kind of like a back and forth. So I'm really confused about how the decision doesn't go her way. I think that her opponent kind of got more of a the decision went her way because of the just the Cheyenne's the out-of-towner. I don't know. I don't get it, because Cheyenne controlled the fight, had most of the fight, so I'm not really sure what happened there. But, I know she's focused. She's got a couple more things on the horizon, and she's just moving forward. Another young fighter that's getting rising up pretty quickly. But anyway, so I want to say, just give a shout-out to those ladies who went to war last weekend. But, yeah, man, this is 2014. You should be able to watch almost any, amateur pro promotion out there through some form of media outlet, and I just don't think there's any excuse not to have that taking place.
Yeah, if we can watch Tough Enough on GFL, if we can watch fights in Russia and China and online, how come we can't watch Legacy Fighting Championship prelims or RFA prelims or whatever? But I don't know. That's kind of puzzling. But speaking of very bad decisions, last week, UFC Fight Night 42 went down.
Was there
pretty,
a bad decision on that
exciting
card?
Yeah. There was actually a pretty exciting fight card. I didn't expect that honestly. But, man, Diego Sanchez against Ross Pearson. Sanchez, speaking of hometown favorites as well.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Oh, my goodness.
You got that hometown discount,
world,
dude.
How in the world did Ross Pearson not win 3-0?
Listen, that's not – that to me – okay, that's terrible. That's one of the worst decision calls ever. I like Diego. I love to watch the guy fight, but let's be honest. He got worked – Ross worked him over – without hesitation, without a doubt, he worked them over. So how that goes down, I don't know. I think there's just very terrible officiating. And was that, like, if I'm not mistaken, that was like the first UFC event in New Mexico in quite a long time or ever or something like that. And locals were talking about how the New Mexico judging is. So I think that they showed themselves very, very poorly, and I don't think that's going to make good for UFC wanting to go back to New Mexico anytime soon.
Well, those that are familiar with the New Mexico MMA scene, which, I mean, I'm in Ohio, I'm no expert on it, but if you watch Jackson's MMA fight league, you will see some questionable decisions. And
yeah.
This one was definitely one of the worst decisions I have ever seen in any promotion. And they already said there's not going to be a rematch. They said Ross Pearson is going to move on like he won the fight. But that still doesn't take away from the fact that the dude is not getting paid his money that he deserves because he won that fight. But, of course, the judges saw it another way, so no, he did not win that fight. I don't know. That kind of just made the whole fight card sour for me because, I mean, the rest of the fight card was good. You saw everything on this fight card. But
fish hooking.
Oh, well, Brian Caraway and his fish hooking, which probably disagree here. We probably disagree on this one. He did. There's no question that he did fish hook. He apologized for that. Him and Eric Perez talked afterwards about it. But I think there's no question that he did win the fight. I think the fish hook had nothing to do with that thing.
Well, okay, I do think the fish hooking helped a little bit, but he won the fight, no doubt about that. He was the better fighter that night. But let me say that move. Brian Caraway is a classless fighter that is never going to achieve much greatness. He is a classless piece of work. The guy threatens to beat up women. He fish hooks. He's a cheater. And I think that he's guys like him are bad for the sport, and he will weed himself out with those antics and those behaviors. With that said, he was the better fighter, and he won the fight. But that is the ultimate – that is like the number one no-no in MMA is fish hooking. You don't do it. Everyone knows it. On the guys making their amateur debuts in a fight at an event in front of 50 people, or guys fighting in front of UFC in front of 60,000 people and 3 million other watching at home, you don't do it. You just don't do it. He did it. It was definitely no accident. He had two fingers in there. So I cannot stand the guy. I think he's classless. I think he's got no respect, no class whatsoever. And I can't wait until the day when he's out of the sport. But I would just say that, not to be too over the top or anything, but, you know.
two things off of that. First of all, I think even if you didn't know the rules of MMA, you would know that's a wrong thing to do. I mean, in your head, any knowledgeable person, any smart person would know, oh, hey, maybe I should probably not do this because this looks like it's cheating. And the second thing is, I will say this, as for you saying you don't want to see him in the sport anymore, I mean, I don't like the guy at all. I'm honestly not a fan of Misha Tate either, but I don't think you're going to see him out of the sport for a while. He has a pretty decent record. His only loss as of recent is to Cam Mizugaki, which was in Japan. Of course, he called out Mizugaki afterwards, saying he wants to fight him anywhere but his home country. Which, honestly, I'd like to see that fight again because I think Mizugaki could put him away easier. I thought that fight was closer than it should have been. But I don't think you're going to see Caraway out of the sport anytime soon. He does have a pretty decent record, whether you like him or not.
I know. I hate that. I hate cheating. I hate it so bad. If you can't do things the right way, you shouldn't be doing it, plain and simple. And I just lost the guy. I'm sorry. I stopped caring for this guy and lost all respect for this guy the second he was threatening to beat up women and stuff, you know, because he's, you know, let's be honest, man, you know, he's, you know, talking all this crap on Misha's behalf, and nothing against Misha, but I think that it's just classless. It shows a lack of respect and dignity to be calling out women and doing that stuff. You know, Misha, in all honesty, I think Misha Tate could probably beat Brian Caraway up. I would take her over him in a fight. So I think that she could probably handle her own stuff. And for him to be, you know, getting involved with that and stuff, it's just, you know, you're in a fight game. You're going to have people call you out. You're going to have bad relationships with people. I think it shows a lack of class to have your boyfriend calling out girls and stuff. It's garbage. But anyway, it's whatever.
One other thing about that fight card, Benson Henderson actually finishing a fight, rear naked choke over Khabalov in the fourth round. It was very fast after he delivered an uppercut right hook combination to stun Khabalov. And then afterwards, I don't know if you watched the press conference, man, Benson Henderson just went after the media, attacking them about writing stories of how he doesn't finish fights and how he's like the king of decisions. And, I mean, what does he expect? I mean, that's how he fights. Nothing against that. It's worked for him in his career. Nothing against that. If that's how he wants to fight, that's how he fights. But, man, he just went right at the media. And what's his name? John Morgan for CBS Sports or whatever, was kind of confused. Like, what do you expect us to say?
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, Benson. All right, now, Benson looked great in his fight last week. Absolutely great. But he has to understand they are the media. It is their job to criticize. It is their job to point things like that out. And let's be honest, Benson, you know, okay, so you got this rear naked, you got a nice rear naked choke, but it's been a while since you finished a fight. It's been since WEC 48 since he finished one. Yeah, obviously, he got finished by Pettis. But, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 fights, nine decisions. It's been 11 fights since he's finished somebody. 11. That's a long time, man. You're talking that's 4 years ago, WEC 48, the last time he finished somebody. You know, that was Cowboy Cerrone. So it's their job to point that out and to talk about that and to say things like that. And I'm sorry, you know, I have no sympathy for him if he gets kind of a, you know, he gets uptight about it and he gets his panties in a wad over it. It's his job to go out there and finish fighters. And when you don't finish fighters, you're susceptible to criticism. And that's part of it. Nobody's singling him out. It happens in MMA. It happens in football. If a quarterback's not winning games, it happens in the NBA. If Queen James, right, you know, can't seem to win games against the Spurs who are ancient, you know, it happens to you no matter what sport. So, I have no sympathy for him. Go out there and finish fights, Benson, if you don't want people to talk about how you can't finish fights.
Honestly, his win paints a really weird kind of top of the heat for the lightweight division in the UFC. Obviously, he was defeated twice by Pettis. Pettis is going to fight Melendez. They're actually going to be coaching Tough 20 with the female strawweights. So I don't know who he's going to fight next. It'll be interesting to see. He kind of beats up on everybody except for the champion, but we'll see with that. I don't know.
I hear you, my friend. It's I like watching him fight, dude. He's a good fighter, but you're going to fall victim to criticism and nitpicking when you go out there and pull a Ben Askren for like 10 fights, you know.
Yeah, but the difference between them, Ben Askren, I mean, he knows that's what he does, and I don't want to toot my own horn. I did call that Ben Askren finish. I said submission first round, so I was happy to see that at 1FC. But Ben Askren, I mean, he comes out and he says, "Hey, this is what I'm going to do. Stop me." And I mean, it may be boring, but that's what he's good at. If Benson Henderson does it, I mean, I like the guy. Don't complain about it. Just say, hey, this is what I do. I win decisions. I grind it out. And I think that's what he said in the past. All of a sudden he wants to get upset about it, and that just confused everyone.
Yeah. Right on, man. Right on, yeah. It's just like if you don't want to hear it, then go out there and change it, you know. GSP was doing it for a while. You know, he's taking it. You know, people were criticizing him, but he was going out there and winning the fights and getting his job done. Was he doing it entertainingly? Not really. I'm gonna be honest. I hate laying prey. I hate it. I hate seeing a wrestler-dictated fight because it is boring to watch. But, you know, I don't want to go out and see – I'm not one of the – you know, I don't want to go see a knockout every time. I think those are the knuckleheaded guys who sit in a bar to watch an MMA event hoping to see everybody get knocked out. You know, there's going to be a mixture of stuff. There's going to be – wrestling's very important in MMA. Jiu-jitsu is very important. Judo's very important. Karate, boxing, all of it. It's very important to making MMA what it is, but I hate to see – when the wrestlers dictate fights and you end up seeing kind of a boring performance. But, fortunately for Benson, for the time being, he's broken out of that. And with that being said, he got himself a nice submission win and he looked good out there. So hope to continue to see that. And with that said, we are going to be going live here with Noemi Vasquez very shortly. So I will jump behind the scenes and I will get her on the line.
All right, folks, well, Matthew does that. UFC wasn't the only event that went down last week. Tons of MMA last weekend. If you did not watch a single event, you're not a true MMA fan, unless you're training and fighting, of course. You can't say you're not an MMA fan there. But Cage Warrior 69, they had a super Saturday. They had two events in one day. It's funny because we were just talking about the UFC doing that not too long ago. And to be honest, I think Cage Warriors pulled this off better. They had two title fights going down. Stevie Ray defeated Kurt Warbutton. That was the lightweight title. That was the second of the two title fights. The first one saw Jack Hermanson defeat Norman Perese to claim the middleweight title. He won that by rear naked choke in round four. Overall, this was pretty exciting day for Cage Warriors. Like I said, I think they did it better than the UFC having two events in one day. I think it's something they'll do again in the future. Because they saw so much success with it. I'd be interested in see what the numbers were as far as viewership, but I have to imagine it was pretty high with the amount of finishes and exciting fights. Also going down last weekend was RFA 15. Kevin Casey was in the main event against Andrew Sanchez. That was for the middleweight title. Casey coming out on top in that one. Casey winning by knockout in round one. Kevin Casey, that's the same Kevin Casey from The Ultimate Fighter. I mean, you don't see him knocking out people too often, so that was pretty interesting. Also, Alan Jaboyan getting a big win in the co-main event, and I believe Matthew is ready.
Yep. I am back, and we are live with Noemi Vasquez, who's getting ready to fight tomorrow night. Noemi, how are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing freaking fabulous. How are you guys doing over there?
I'm not doing as fabulous, but I'm glad to hear you're doing fabulous. How did weigh-ins go tonight?
The weigh-ins went most excellent. I came in right on weight. My opponent came in just a little under, so we're ready. We're ready to do this tomorrow.
Now, how does it feel getting a fight on a major event in front of your home crowd right here in Tampa, Florida?
Oh man, it's a huge honor. I was born and raised here in this area, so growing up watching the circus and big events going on at venues such as this one, the Tampa Times Forum. I mean, it's a huge honor, huge opportunity. For me to be able to perform not only at this venue but in front of my hometown on top of it. So it's very exciting for me.
Yeah. Now we here are, you know, we do MMA. We focus MMA. Boxing's a little out of our element. So, but it's very important that we give time to boxing as well because boxing is a pretty pivotal part of MMA. So tell us a little bit about your start, how you got involved in the sport, and what brought you to boxing?
I always kind of grew up as the girl that was always outside playing with the guys. I was never really into the dolls. I used to like to go outside and play football and play soccer and play, you know, all this stuff. So when the guys would bring out the gloves and I was out there playing with them, I would flip them on and fight with them also. So it was just kind of like how I grew up playing, and so when I started visiting the boxing gyms, and there were the local, like, the tough man contests at the bars and all that, it was all familiar to me, and I would go in there, and I'd be good, and I kept going with it, I continued, and now I'm a pro boxer, so, yeah, I've just kind of stuck with it, and here I am.
Now, being a mother, what's it like for your daughter to come out and watch you fight? Or do you let her come watch you fight?
Absolutely. Yeah, she goes all over the place with me. She helps me make sure my diet's fine. It's funny because I'm not going to lie. I cheat from time to time, and I want to just have a cookie, or I want to just have some ice cream, you know what I mean? Because I look like this, but I'm truly a fat girl inside. So I cheat all the time. It's not good, but it is what it is. If she catches me with, like, a bowl of ice cream or some chips in my hand, this girl has, like, no shame in just grabbing the bag, running and hiding it from me. Like, I get pissed off. I start yelling at her and everything because it's disrespectful.
No,
like, no,
she's
I'm
looking
doing
out
this
for you.
Your own good. Huh? Yeah, that's what
she
says.
She's looking out for you. She's keeping you on point. She's keeping you honest.
That's what she says, but she's definitely my biggest supporter, my biggest fan. I'm very lucky that, you know, she's such a great child the way she is, you know, with this.
Now I got to ask this, and I'm sure this will be a quick response, but have you ever thought about crossing over to MMA?
I actually have. There was a while where I was training with Ralph Garcia over at WCMA in Tampa, and I love MMA. I'm a big MMA fan. But honestly, like probably maybe a few months after I started getting into it, the boxing opportunities started like pouring in. And boxing is like my bread and butter. It's what I've been doing well since I was a kid. So I, you know, I had to make a decision because it's not, you know, being a boxer, it's a very big transition into MMA because you're adding the kicks now. And I was already in my late 20s and starting to learn the kicks and the grappling and all that. So I had to go with what was more natural to me, which is boxing. But I love MMA. I would love to eventually kind of do something in there, you know.
I got to say, awesome name drop there with Ralph Garcia and WCMA. Ralph is my dude. I've actually been down there, too. I've trained with them a couple of times. And that is one legit fight team that he's got down there.
Oh,
I love those guys. So that's
consistently.
If there's one place that's going to, like, try and persuade you and get you into MMA, it's going to be over at Ralph's school because they're going to heckle you and stuff. They're fun guys over there.
Oh,
now,
yeah. I love it.
Now, how are you feeling going into your fight tomorrow night? You know, it's like, as you mentioned before, being at the Forum, that's a huge venue. You know, that's you have major sports teams that play there. To be able to fight there at such a large venue, it's got to get you inside. It's got to make you pretty giddy and excited to be knowing that you're fighting in such an awesome place.
Oh, yeah, this is very true. It's almost like surreal still. And I guess it didn't really hit me until we were at the Hard Rock Casino today doing the weigh-ins because that's another thing that never happens around here. Like, there's never anything fight-wise going on at the Hard Rock. So it kind of hit me when we were at the press conference and, you know, everything was all fancy and, you know, it hit me like, wow, this is the real deal right here. Like, this is a huge opportunity. And as you said earlier, I'm definitely giddy and I have the butterflies in my stomach and it's even better to be able to perform in front of my family and my friends and my home crowd. Like, this is awesome. This is awesome.
All right, now I want to talk a little bit about No No Magazine. Obviously, this is going to be something huge, and it's about to debut. I know Robert's been working around the clock to get this together.
Oh, yeah.
You and Robert kind of came together. Actually, why don't you tell us how this came to be and what we can expect to see from No No Magazine.
Well, Robert, you know, big shout-out, much love and respect to my partner Robert and my good friend Robert Richards. Everyone around here in the fight scene knows who he is. He's one of the most amazing, not only photographers, but just amazing person to be around. I'm definitely blessed to have him being, you know, working with me, beside me, and being one of my great friends. He was actually the one that came up with the idea. It was before one of my fights. He said, hey, you know, I was thinking, why don't we come up with a magazine? I know you're involved with MMA and you're involved with, you know, the modeling and you're involved with the hip-hop community. Why don't we put that together into a magazine and we can put in my pictures? And it just sounded like such an amazing idea that I was like, you know what, let's do it. And it's funny because he's never done anything like that. I've never done anything like this. And it's just flowing so beautifully. And the support from everyone is absolutely amazing. And I'm really proud to be working along with him. He just finished. I mean, he's the big man behind all of this, to keep it honest. Like, he's like you said earlier, he's working around the clock. He's a perfectionist. I know him well. So when we see this, I know we're all going to be super impressed. Yeah, absolutely. And then we have writers like you and like Damon Gonzalez from Latin Box and Jason from As One. Like the team is just amazing. You know, the
remarkable.
Whole team. Yeah. So I'm excited. It just came out. We're going to have a digital version. We're going to have a hard copy version. We're giving away posters to the first 45 people that are buying it, autographed posters. And we're also going to have some at the fights. So definitely keep your eye out for the No No magazine. This is, you know, it's going to be a great project. We're learning, you know, we're learning as we go, and it's just going to get better with time. So keep a lookout for that.
Yeah, no, I've seen the poster. It's pretty it's some darn good photography by Robert.
Yeah, he's amazing.
As you mentioned, you know, if anybody in the Florida MMA scene, you know, mid Central Florida, if they're involved with MMA or combat sports, they know who Robert is. The guy is everywhere all the time. Sometimes I feel like there's two or three of this guy, and his work is phenomenal. The moment I saw posts going out, Facebook, Twitter about this, I'm like, what is this? I start messaging him, and he's like, you know, it's going to encompass some MMA. I'm like, you know, so I'm like, well, let me stay here. So I go, hey, Robert, who's doing your MMA writing? He's like, well, I was just going to have the fighters write up something about themselves and message it to me. I'm like, well, that can't work. I'm like, Robert, how about we do this? What if you give me a shot? Let me maybe write an article or two for it. Things got rolling, and I can't wait to hold one of these magazines in my hand. It's going to be awesome, and I can't wait for people to get this, for this to get out, and to have, like, this magazine that encompasses the greatness of, like, the Florida culture and what we've got down here and a lot of the great different stuff that's going to come together. I think it's going to be an awesome thing.
Yes, me too, because, you know, a lot of times, and it's the same thing with, you know, women fighters a lot of times, for example, like, there's so much amazing talent, and because there's lack of promotion or there's lack of maybe hype or people just kind of helping each other, I don't know, maybe it's because it's kind of country over here in Florida, like, nobody knows about these people, and there's some amazing, like, there's some great talent out here, and you know, it's all kind of underground, so this, I'm hoping to expose some of the diamonds that I get to come across all the time as far as MMA, as far as models, as far as hip-hop artists. Like, this city is loaded with amazing talent in the hip-hop community and the music industry, and I'm just so excited to kind of expose a little bit here and there and give them that opportunity that they're not getting because it's a small city. You know, and hopefully this grows nationally eventually. That's our goal, for it to be national and then even go into TV eventually. I mean, there's big dreams, big hopes for all this, and the team is definitely strong enough to do it, you know. So I'm very optimistic and excited about where this is going to go next.
Right on. One last thing before we let you go. I know you've had a long day, Wayne. You're probably exhausted, want to get rest. So my last question is this. What is your opponent going to see from you tomorrow night?
Oh, man. Well, for those of you who don't know, my last fight, I suffered, you know, I had a loss. So I kind of feel sorry for this girl that I'm fighting tomorrow because I feel like I have to prove something first and foremost to myself, you know what I mean, because I'm not a loser. And, yeah, you know, in the fight sometimes you lose, but I don't accept that very well. I feel like I'm a very talented fighter. I feel like I'm very I have a lot of doctrine as far as my, you know, technique. I spend a lot of time in the gym. There's no reason that I should be losing to anybody right now. You know what I mean? So I feel sorry for this girl because I'm going to be proving a whole lot to myself in that ring tomorrow, and I know God's going to be with me. And, you know, things happen, but I'm gonna bring 100% of myself to that ring tomorrow. So hopefully you guys can come out there and check it out. It's a great venue. It's a great promotion company. I'm going to have I had a contest for the hip-hop artists around here to have the opportunity to walk me out to the ring. And H won the opportunity, and Anthony won the music, or he created the music to it. So it's a huge process involved in all this, and it's going to be a great show. So hopefully you guys can come out and check it out.
Right on. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us. Before we let you go, is there any sponsors that you'd like to give a shout-out to and also let people know where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, for sure. My three biggest sponsors right now are No Judges Needed with Troy Rogano. He's with me all the time, one of my closest friends right now in the fight community. Troy's really looking out for me, and No Judges Needed. They're also very big in the MMA, world, and I'm, I think, the only boxer who has him as a sponsor, so I'm honored for him to be a part of my team. Shout out to No Judges Needed. Also, Tiger the Hope Boy with the Zoo Hag Movement. He's also a great supporter of mine, and Your Smile Studio, which is a wonderful dentist over here that I deal with on my side of town in Seminole and Pinellas Park. He's also wonderful. So shout out to them. And as far as following me on social media, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and it's all at noemibosquez.com, which is spelled NOEMIBOSQUES, all at noemibosquez.com. So look me up, find me. I love to hear from the fans and the supporters, 100%. I love it.
Right on. Well, thank you for joining us, Noemi. Best of luck to you tomorrow night. Looking forward to hearing a good result from the event, and I'll see you soon.
For sure. Thank you for having me.
You got it, Noemi. Take it easy.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Awesome time talking with Noemi Bosquez. I love the passion in her voice, man, and she's got it, whether it's about her fight, whether it's about this magazine, whether it's about Robert Richards. It just, you hear it no matter what we're talking about and what she's got to say, and it's awesome. Awesome young lady with an awesome potential in the boxing community. So it's cool to kind of jump out of our element there for a few minutes and talk boxing and stuff and see how commonly it can be associated with MMA. People talk about the fact that they're different sports, they're entirely different. You know, a lot of this, the flack after the last Floyd Mayweather fight was, they're entirely different sports and this and that and stuff. And it's like, well, when you think about it, they're not different sports really. Yeah, the judging's differently. The rounds are scored differently. That stuff's scored differently. But let's take a second here. Boxing is a pivotal part of MMA. If you don't have boxing in MMA, you're not going to go very far. You're not going to be a world champion MMA fighter just on your wrestling or just on your jiu-jitsu. You have to have at least a base knowledge of boxing, of the other sports, and that's why it's MMA. And I'm not knocking on jiu-jitsu or wrestling. I think the highest of jiu-jitsu of any martial art out there. If you know me well enough, you know that I praise jiu-jitsu all day long. But you can't make it to the top of the sport without having that good base foundation of knowledge in each aspect of those sports. And they teach you that wherever you go. Any good gym you go to is going to designate time to jits, going to teach you some judo maybe. They're going to teach you wrestling base, and they're going to teach you boxing. So without boxing, you don't go very far in MMA. Now, on the opposite of that, an MMA fighter crossing over into boxing, are they going to be the best? Probably not. But could they get into a boxing ring and at least hold their own and maybe go for a little while with a boxer? I think so. Maybe not all of them, but I do think that many MMA fighters could step out of MMA. Nick and Nate Diaz, those guys could step into a boxing fight and hold their own. And probably be very successful. Would they be the best in the world? I doubt it. But would they be? Could they be a pretty decent, consistent boxer? Maybe. So I think that to say that the sports are entirely different, I think is maybe ignorance. I don't know if it's purposeful ignorance, but it is ignorance in my opinion. Because I think while the sports can be very different, they are extremely similar and definitely intertwined on more than one occasion. And I don't know if Spencer's still with me.
I'm still here.
Okay, you didn't say nothing. I stopped talking. I was like, I'm waiting for Spencer to chime in. I wanted to hear what you had to say.
I, to be honest, I can't really go over boxing well. I mean, my thing is mixed martial arts. I can't talk boxing without probably sounding ignorant about it. All I know is I hate Floyd Mayweather.
Well, let me tell you something. I hate him too. I'm 100% agreed. To watch boxing, I don't care. I don't really care for it. I've seen Noemi fight before. I covered a local boxing show, a Pier 6 promotion show, for Ivan Echeverria, because Ivan's a good dude. I know him well, and he asked me to come cover the show. I think boxing on your local regional level, I think, is a cool thing. I think when boxing reaches the level of Floyd Mayweather, I lose all belief and hope in it, so I can in no way watch or be a fan of it. So I'm with you. I boxing's not my thing, but when it comes to some of these local regional boxers, these regional promotions, I think that you do see the true nature of the sport there, and the true nature of boxing is pretty cool. It is pretty entertaining, but when it's at the level of Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, all those guys, I think it loses that nature and it becomes more of a money sport, more of the money business, and less of a real thing. So I'm not a boxing fan myself, and I too couldn't say much on it without sounding ignorant. But I think that at least I think I have the knowledge enough on the aspect of the fact that the sports do intertwine a lot, and I think that I don't know how to say it. Bottom line is I'm not much of a boxing fan. I do like to see the local fighters like Noemi and Aaron Jacko, Hot Rod, a couple of guys out of Tampa that are top level talents. Aaron the Jedi Jaco is actually what he's called, and the dude comes out with his cornermen dressed as Star Wars characters, which was one of the coolest things I'd ever seen. But when it comes to guys like Floyd Mayweather, I can't stand him. Can't stand him whatsoever. And I think that that's the reason. Guys like that are the reason I have no belief or hope in boxing on the major level, but that's nothing to say against the local scene. But with that said, that's going to wrap up our another great episode of Cage Zombies Radio. In my opinion, probably one of our best yet. Always a great time talking with you, my boy Spencer. We had a lot of great guests on the show tonight, and as we always do, want to thank Andrea, Amber, Desiree, and Noemi for being part of the show tonight. And we'll be back next week with another great show of Cage Zombies Radio. I'm all done. You got anything else before we wrap up?
The only other thing I have is Mighty Mouse defending his title. He's going to win. I think he's going to run over Ali Bogatinov. I don't think it's going to be a fight at all. Other than that, the only other fighter on the card I care about, honestly, is Andre Arlovski making his UFC return, but that's all I have to say.
Yeah. One last thing, Goddess of War Championships this Saturday, Port Richey, Florida, All Sports Arena. I believe doors are going to open around 6 o'clock. Make sure you're there. It's going to be an all-female Emmy fight card. It's going to be history in the making for Florida MMA. And that's all I got. Check us out on Facebook at Cage Zombies Radio. Please like the page. I want to say thank you to everybody who's helped us reach 700 likes. It's a pretty phenomenal feeling to see that, to know that we've got people out there that are paying attention to what we're doing. We're not just sitting here rambling to each other. I think we would do that anyways because, hell, I love talking to you, Spencer. So whether or not people are listening to us, we would be doing our thing. But the fact that to know that people are supporting us and are listening and liking the page, it means the world to us here at Cage Zombies at MMA Madhouse. So please keep it going. Keep the likes coming. Check out the page. We try to keep it updated as much as we possibly can. If we start to see it rise and rise, I think we'll both step it up and we'll start doing more for the page, I think. But we give our everything to Cage Zombies Radio. I know I speak for myself and I'll speak for Spencer. We give our all to Cage Zombies Radio. So we appreciate all the support, all the fans, all the likes, and all of our sponsors, most definitely all of our sponsors. We wouldn't even be doing this without them. So thank you to everyone involved. Check out MMAMadhouse.com for your leading supporter of local MMA. We'll have lots of stuff covered this weekend. RearNakedSmoke.net, GFL.tv, partners of ours, MMATopics.net, another great one. Please check out those sites, support local MMA, and we will be back next Thursday with another phenomenal edition of Cage Zombies Radio. Cue the outro. All right, I got the outro. Apocalyptic, you won't survive this, you can't predict it. Hey, chaotic.
I'm a zombie, who I wanna be. Not a wannabe, but a zombie, I know. Insanity, untamable, unchainable. Zombians is undeniable. Run for your life, run for your life. What? Bone appetite, I got a new appetite. Transform, reborn, love by sensitive rare form. Worldwide.
Thank you.